At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King. All right. Good morning. So I'm actually going to have, I normally am going to like open in prayer for you guys, but I just told my sub Sunday school teacher that when I do the opening prayer with Sunday school kids, I make them repeat me. And I just heard the Lord say that I have to do that with you guys. Because here's the deal. We like to treat children and adults differently, but when we are in Christ, we are constantly learning. Therefore, we're constantly students. And sometimes a lot of preachers like to just talk at you. And I guarantee that you're zoning out on so much of what I'm saying. And so I like to engage and make sure that you stay engaged. All right? So I want everybody to close your eyes. Okay, say, Lord. Thank you for letting me come to church today. I thank you that you've prepared my heart for this. And I just ask for forgiveness. So I can come into your presence, and I ask that you remove the scales from my eyes and open my ears so that my spirit can receive everything you have for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is called Regaining, because some have lost it, your stability in Christ. Have you heard the saying, hanging on by a thread? How about I'm wearing thin? I've not only heard these as well, but I used them. I used them pre-Jesus, and I've used them post-Jesus. And it seems counterintuitive once you're post-Jesus, because we all read scripture. So as soon as I say I use them post-Jesus, my spirit immediately is like flagged, because scripture says that Christ is our firm foundation. Scripture says, and constantly showing us, that he is our rock, that Christ is our strong and mighty tower. So how are we getting to the point in our daily lives post-Jesus that we are crumbling under pressure? Sometimes, if we don't guard our hearts, the cares of this world creep in and they crush us, post-Jesus. Myself included, which is very interesting to me because my default personality is I'm pretty optimistic. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, good morning! It's a good day. You know, I'm usually half glass full. Like something goes crazy, I'm like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And then you have others that are like naturally like just super negative. You're like, hey, it's so pretty, it's going to rain. And you're like, how you doing today? I don't feel good. And it's funny to me that my natural default optimistic personality goes completely opposite in the spiritual department. Here's why. Because when I say those things post-Jesus, like I'm hanging on by a thread or I'm wearing thin, in the spiritual department, I feel like if I'm doing all the right things, and I know what to do, I know that I need to read my Bible every day, I know that I need to pray, I need to worship, I need to go to church, I need to go to church functions, I know all these things. So if I'm doing these things on a daily basis, and I have an issue of life that comes up, why do I go negative so fast? Because what I do is I go immediate self-loathing. Immediate. Immediate self-loathing on what did I do wrong? What door did I open? How did I fall out of God's favor? Every single time something happens, that's where my brain and my reactions go to, which is insane because every earthly, fleshly thing that happens, like at work, I'm like, it's going to be fine. We're fine. If I start saying we're fine a lot of times, you know, like there's something going on. Like it's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, I realized as I was worshiping this morning that for the past like 3 months, God's been saying such weird things to me. So I've had this phrase being repeated in my spirit constantly saying, love the skin you're in. And I'm pretty sure that's a Dove commercial. And I seriously think it is. And I was like, Lord, what is that? That's weird. And I got into this phase where if I felt like things weren't going as planned based on my recipe that I have with God, that I was now self-loathing. That I now thought that I was being punished or something because I fell out of his favor because good things need to happen and bad things need to not happen. And then when bad things not happen, I'm like, well, we should be at peace. So there's a big difference with knowing all of these things, but letting it drop from head to heart, but then not only heart, but then the deep pit of your gut. I feel like there's a third one there that we need to address, and it's not addressed because head to heart, yes, but I feel like head to gut is, so it says your bowels. Nobody likes to say that word, but it's like the gut, like that gut feeling. Do you know that if something went crazy wrong at my house, I wouldn't actually freak out because I know that he would know how to take care of it, right? There's like a weird inner peace there that like I can't really explain, but you just know it's there. So that's what God's been trying to show me, that is what we're missing with him, is the stuff getting to our gut because it's going to be fine, right? So every time I would look in the mirror, I would start to not like myself. Because once we go into the Christian journey, we get this, no, it's not, it's demonic. Because we fight against principalities, right? So our brains are so fleshly related. I must be feeling this. No, these are things that are actually at work to get us to get messed up. So I was like, okay, love the skin you're in, love the skin you're in, love the skin you're in. And I just kept repeating that. And I'm like, okay, like you love me. This is going to be fine. We're going to work through this, okay? And all of a sudden, 1 Peter 5:8 took a different light for me, which is the verse we all know about the devil prowls around, right? So he broke it down for me with the devil, our adversary, okay? Do you know that adversary is opponent? Okay? So scripture says the devil, your adversary. It's right there in the text, which is your opponent, which means what is an opponent going to do? Constantly try to take you out, right? That's their job. Prowls around as a roaring lion. And again, I've read this 1,000 times, but roaring started to pop out at the page. And I looked up why lions roar. And they roar to communicate their territory. They roar to assert their dominance. So if he's going around like a roaring lion, that means that he's going around as your opponent, communicating to others that this is his territory, that this is his domain. And we wonder why we're feeling all these feelings. Right? And we're not getting them into check. And then also, here's the crazy thing. Did you know that lions mostly roar right before dawn? What happens right before dawn? Like a lot of attacks that come are between the 3 and the 4 a.m. department window, which is also called the witching window. Like there's a lot of things that occur in that time. And that's when lions roar the most. But yet, we know these things. We know these scriptures. But when the issues of life come up or spiritual things happen, we immediately question everything, including our stability in Christ. What is going on where multitudes of believers feel right now like they're going to crumble at any moment? I've had multiple conversations with women in different states this week that are completely broken. And I was struggling with it at first because the Holy Spirit, do you know that when I get in counseling sessions with people, I literally am like, Lord, this stuff is heavy, and I'm going to need you to speak because I don't know what to say that's going to make them feel better. So I'm going to need to hear from you here because their stuff is so real, and a lot of the people that I talk to in counsel, I'm not physically with them. And so that's hard. And so I'm constantly telling them, find a church. Like, you need to find a church, and you need to have a community, and I'm going to continue to still partner with you, but you have to have a local body because there's power with people laying hands on you. There's power with having a community around you. But what's happening is they're feeling like they can't do it anymore. And these are Christians. They're feeling like they can't handle this anymore, that they weren't cut out for this, that they're going to crumble, that they're literally hanging on by a thread. I've heard that multiple times. And that they're wearing thin, and I can't take it much more because I'm tired. And all of a sudden, with the love your skin you're in that the Lord's been dealing with me for the past 3 months, and then all of these different people throughout the United States that are going through similar things, all of a sudden I was like, this is a strategic demonic ambush that needs to be exposed, stopped, and broken off. Because people have had seasons of their life where you're feeling like you're so in sync with God, and then all of a sudden it's like you can't hear him at all. People that feel like you're going from one attack to another. People that feel like you're trying your hardest to just break through and hang on, but nothing is ever changing. People ready to give up, throw in the towel because you're tired. It's a full-on attack. There's nothing wrong with you. Do you know that I had to sit and tell this woman, you're not crazy. You're not crazy, because she kept saying, I'm crazy. I'm crazy. And she was sobbing, and I'm crazy. And everybody's telling me I'm crazy. And I was like, you're not crazy. Because even though we're feeling these things, they're real. Because they're demonic spiritual things that are literally sent to do a job. Right? There is a full-on attack right now with not only this lie and mindset for Christians, but they're getting tired and frail because the battle that they're fighting is not being fought properly because they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. This hanging on by a thread mentality, this I'm wearing thin mentality, it is a mental posture that we are choosing to partner with. Do you know that the word posture means to, hold on, the position we choose to take. So posture is the position that we are choosing to take, the particular way that we are dealing with or considering something. It's our approach and it's our attitude. Do you know that wearing thin means to be gradually used up, become less acceptable, and that you are deteriorating away? And hanging on by a thread is to be in a very uncertain state and unlikely to survive. These are these confessions that we're speaking out of our mouth. So we're speaking, I'm used up, I'm deteriorating, I'm unraveling, and I'm on a very uncertain state, and I don't think I'm going to survive. These are the things that are coming out of our spirit. These things creep in undetected. In fact, this is how the majority of evil things come in. So they don't come in like a showboat, like I'm here. That's not how they enter. They enter super small, very tiny, under the radar, a comment. Somebody does something. They're smooth, they're sly, they're very slight, and they're slow. That way, they can fully get in, being completely undetected. And the snare can be set so that we begin to believe that lie. So I'm going to tell you something today. You're not hanging on by a thread. You're not wearing thin. And you're not about to crumble. These are lies. Lies from demonic realms to convince you to stop trying. To convince you God's no longer present. To make you question your beliefs. To question your relationships. To question his authority. And to question your worth. To question your purpose. Worth is one of the biggest things that gets attacked. Because sometimes when I'm helping other women, my heart is breaking because, and I had this with Joe too, when you're in a very one-sided relationship, it's always value that gets attacked. Why can't I be better enough for him to be able to accept me this way? Why does he act this way? Is it because I'm not fulfilling my part of the deal? Like, you go to these very demonic thoughts, and in the process of it, you have a husband, in my example, that was literally, you know, overtaken basically by demonic things, and the entire time, all that happens to the other woman is that you always question your worth. You always question your value. And God has been obviously still working for 15 years with me because love the skin you're in. It's not the same level that it was, but it's different things, right? But it's interesting to me that when God worked on my behalf, he focused on me. I don't need that right now. Like, he taught me that I'm not going to get my value out of one single person on this earth. I only get my value from him because he created me. And he started to take me on a level where I was no longer focusing on Joe and Joe not loving me or focusing on all the bad in my life. He started to teach me that I need you to value yourself because I created you. I created you for a purpose. And the way that the devil can do things is by using people. And so people will destroy you, and then you feel like you have no value and you have no worth. And when you feel like you have no value and no worth, how are you supposed to help anybody? It's literally blind leading the blind. And when I'm here, and it breaks my heart sometimes when I'm helping these women because they hate themselves. And they didn't do anything wrong. They have alcoholic husbands, or they have porn-addicted husbands, and they did nothing wrong. And they're feeling like they can't ever be anything. And every single time I start to talk to them, I was like, you need to literally stop thinking about them and let God work on you. Because you're not going to get him or your family saved until he works on you. Because once he fixes you, oh my goodness, is it a different perspective? Once he fixes you, you look at things in a different light. Once he shows you that I am valuable, that I do have worth, that I am awesome. Once he starts to begin to reveal these things and that you feel that acceptance from him, there's not, like, I know he's my husband, but I don't care if he accepts me. Like, I have a bigger man in my life. No offense. And when I was speaking to this woman, she said, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to let him love me. And I said, well, you just need to get in rest with him. And she's like, I don't know how to do that either. And so I just started to just explain how I do it. right? How I would, I said when they talk about prayer closets, I said mine was an actual prayer closet, like a closet. Like I was sitting on top of shoes, it was so small. But I needed to get into this like enclosed space where no one else was by me, nobody else was around me, and I just, and it was dark, there's no light in there. And I just would literally allow my flesh to like get out of the way for a second, and I would mentally focus on the Lord and just like be help me. I guarantee you that if everybody went into a black closet and cleared their mind for a minute and said, help me, Lord, I guarantee he's gonna show up. Like, I guarantee it. So today is about a posture change. Today is about changing the way that you're positioned. Number one, if you're saying any of those things, get them out of your vocabulary because it's a rotten confession and you need to stop. Number two, let's have a different mindset shift and a perspective alignment because you need to regain the stability that you have in Christ because his word says, I am firmly planted. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And as you, therefore, have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You're going to be reminded that you have a firm foundation, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Your house is built upon a rock. Okay? These are things that you need to start making your mind do a loop of every single time you start to go into a wearing thin, I can't do this mentality. Okay? So my house is built upon a rock, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. I'm like a tree planted by the water. Psalm 1:3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. While we were worshiping this morning, I literally saw a branch and a peach form. Like I saw the whole thing form. And I was like, wow, fruit. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Position yourself properly. And a little piece of fruit just landed on that branch. And I was like, whoa, Lord, that's amazing. Lord, I pray that you take the scales off eyes today and open the ears and break the lies off of your people. Here's why. Because you're not weak. Say, I'm not weak.
I'm not weak.
You want to know why you're not weak? Because he's strong. And our strength comes from him. I'm not frail. Say it. I'm not frail. Because he is strong. And that is where your strength comes from. We are not walking time bombs about to explode. That's such a lie. Holy Toledo. I'm observing people. I'm not even counseling with them. I'm just watching. And it's like they're about to explode. They're convinced the rug is going to be taken out from underneath them. They're convinced that nothing's going to be okay. Do you know sometimes I honor the fact that the Lord took my testimony in a very different way? I know that the Lord brought me through that to counsel with other women, and I'm going to do that forever. But with me, I didn't have one person that I actually counseled with. The Lord did that all, like it was just me and him. It was very, I don't even want to say lonely, because I wasn't alone. It was very different and it was very personal. But what happens there is sometimes when I'm counseling with people, they're not ready to hear what I have to say. For example, if you tell somebody what you did to get you through it, if you tell somebody what God did for you to get you through it, and they say, but I've tried that already, you're not ready. You're not ready. Because you already have it in your mind and convinced that what you just tried didn't work. You're not ready. And so then I have to pull back and then just feed in a little bit more word, because that's the only thing that cuts like a knife, because eventually it's going to work. Is it my job to know how long you have to go through something before you get free from it? I can't do that. But I can totally be there and support you, because when I was going through that thing with Joe, I wasn't like on like a clock. Like, all right, I started this January 1st, and I'm hoping to get through this in 365 days. I literally just like grabbed on, and I didn't know the future, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was like, it's this or what? Death? Like, what are we going to do here? What are we doing here? I got rid of all of my entitlements, of all of my expectations, of all of my everything, and I was just peaceful and comforted just by his very presence. This isn't a pep talk, okay? Because a lot of the times, because I have an optimistic personality, it's like sometimes, you know, very pep talk-ish. But it's truth. And so today, I want it to get into the depths of your soul. I want it to get into your bowels. So it's funny that you had that word about tummies, right? I want it to get really deep in there, because it's not a pep talk, it's truth. Firmly planted, strong foundation, house on a rock. That's not a pep talk. That's not just getting you through the day so that you don't cry yourself to sleep at night. That's truth, like absolute truth that needs to get super, super deep down in your belly so that you are not an emotional mess 24/7. Because we don't need to be emotional messes 24/7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, when it comes to Jesus, do you know him in your head or in your heart? Come on, let that ponder for a minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Lean not on your own understanding. Stop asking why. Please. Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why is this not happening? Why? Stop doing that. Because it's trying to lean on your own understanding. You're trying to analyze it enough to figure out the reason why God's taking you through this. Oh, God must be taking me through this to, you know, be a better person for the future. Stop doing that. Get rid of it, number one, because it's not yours. And then receive what he has for you in replacement of it. You are stable because he is stable. Stable means that you're not likely to give way or overturn. You are firmly fixed. You're not deteriorating. You're not easily upset. You're not likely to change. You're not likely to fail. This is being stable. Evil is not more powerful than good. That's hard for some people to believe. Because they see that running 24/7 and sometimes have trouble hearing from God. So it's easy for them to think it's more powerful, but it's not. Darkness is not more powerful than light. The devil is not more powerful than God. The levels of darkness trying to take ownership seems to be wherever we look, but it never supersedes the power of God. It never supersedes Jesus Christ and the power that the Holy Spirit brings. These things of darkness, they manifest physically, emotionally, and mentally, which is why sometimes it's very easy for us to get convinced that they're more powerful. We got delivered from alcoholism and have a completely changed life, and we still have demons that try to enter our home. We still have demons that try to choke out my husband in the middle of the night. What if I sat and asked why all the time? That would get me nowhere. It has got me nowhere. That's why the Lord's like, love the skin you're in. Stop thinking you're doing stuff wrong all the time. Stop thinking you have open doors all the time. These physical manifestations that happen, they really do happen. It's not in our heads, and that's what freaks us out because we know God. So we think, why? What's going on here? But real life physical attacks, real life emotional attacks, but we know God. And it will put us into a tailspin of constant questioning because we thought we were fine, wondering if God is mad at us or we no longer are in one accord with him, causing doubt and unbelief to come in, and ultimately over time causes us to get calloused to the point where we start to wonder, what is this even really about? And then you'll see people, Christian and non-Christian, that are around you thriving, and you think, what is the point? Ooh, what a spot for the devil to have Christians in, right there. That is low-hanging fruit for him. That is, I can literally control everything they do and say by just having them stay in that state of mind 24/7. Let me ask you a question, though, and this was my light bulb moment. This was like my shaking of the head, like on cartoons where they're like, right? And a lot of the times when I'm like wanting attention, I will literally like snap in my own ears, like stop it, because it gets you like recalibrated for a second. But when all of those things are occurring, and all of these things are feeling very real and you don't know what to do, and you're telling people that are trying to counsel you that I've tried that already, it's not working, nothing's working. When you're in that state of mind, what are you doing this for? What have you actually thought about why you're actually asking that question? What are you even doing this for? What are you serving Christ for? Why are you serving Christ? Is it so you don't go to hell? Is it so that you get the perks, the blessings, the protection? Because we get all that. But is that why you're doing it? Because it really brings you back to the cross of Christ, when you go to that level of, okay, I'm upset right now. I can tell that I'm super unraveled, and I'm down a very weird road, and I'm going to pull myself back in because here's why. I don't serve God because I don't want to go to hell. I don't serve God because I want all the blessings and the promises. I serve God because he literally sent his son to die for me. That's my only purpose here. My only purpose is to literally just seek his presence, do his will, and be with him one day in heaven. That's it. And when you bring your brain back, when you bring and recalibrate that the junk of this earth literally means nothing to being Christ's, he's our reward, whoa, do you have a different perspective on your problems. Different perspective on your problems. Because right now, I have a slew of Christian people out there that are trying their hardest to live a godly, holy life, but they always feel like the rug is going to be pulled out from underneath them. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is so good. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Everybody say peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What would happen if the next time a tribulation hit, or if you're in one right now, you're going to be like, I'm going to glory in this one. What a different stance and outcome that you might have. What if it literally was shorter? Because I bet you money it is. If you went into a tribulation where you're like, Lord, you're going to get all the glory out of this one. And you're not going to unravel, and you're not going to fall apart, and you're not going to crumble, and you're not going to question. You're just going to be like, Lord, your word says that I'm going to have glory in this. It says, because we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We need perseverance. And perseverance, character. Okay? So technically, you can't get character without perseverance. And you can't get perseverance without trials. So if you always are trying to get out of the trials, You're never going to get perseverance or character. But it goes on, because character brings hope. So technically, you're not ever going to have hope unless you have what? A trial. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That is why we are stable in Christ. Stop tolerating darkness. Stop allowing it to be roommates with you. Make the darkness uncomfortable, where it doesn't want to be around you. It's hard for me to sometimes counsel with people in other states because I get so fired up on the phone that if I could, I would reach through the phone. Because when this woman was hurting and gushing, I literally said, make the darkness uncomfortable. Stop letting it run your household. I was like, if that person is doing something rotten, you create such an environment, such an atmosphere that it wants to leave. Do that constantly and interrupt it. If darkness is going on in your home right when you're in it, interrupt it. Get it out. When me and Joe, like the glory to glory verse, right? Like we get delivered and it's great, but we're still kind of watching like trash movies, right? And then like something else would happen, and then like you couldn't watch the trash movies anymore. And like, so you just like, you get promoted constantly with the Lord, like making you more holy and more holy and more holy. And it got to a point though, where if one of us was off, we would make it awkward in the home. If he put on a movie that we watched when we were 21, you know it's not good. Like, you know it's not good. Oh, I don't remember really what it was about. You know it's not good. You know there's going to be a boob at some point. And you can't say, well, I didn't know when it was coming. Okay. But when those things would happen, I would literally, like, dig my heels in, and I'd be like, get that off my TV. Now. Oh, it's fine. Get it off my TV. Make the darkness uncomfortable. Because we keep allowing it and tolerating it because we're just going to pray about it and it's going to go away. But I think like a level of, can we just get in there and like play the game? Needs to come alive in some people where I don't allow this. I do not allow this and it's not happening. I have a brother who I have a very different relationship with. He's not watching. I'm pretty sure he tried to kill me as a child. Like, he would put, like, wet washcloths over my nose and my mouth. And, like, pretend me to throw me in the fire. Hang me from, like, three stories of balconies all the time. By my feet, by my ankles. Okay? And so our relationship growing up really wasn't one. I was like, what a evil person. Because I was a baby, literally. And so as we grew as adults, that relationship sustained, obviously. Like, I didn't hate him, and I wasn't upset with him, but I was like, no, thank you. And God started to restore that in these past, like, few years. But I think part of it was not only was he ready now, because that makes a huge difference if people are going to receive something, but God put in me, like, a little bit of a sass spiritually. So if you see me, like, on the street and I'm, like, not spiritual, like, I'm, like, a very shy person, and I, like, am not good at speaking, like, literally. Like, this in my, what my body likes to think is my normal is not even a thought. But something happens to you when the Holy Spirit takes over where, like, with darkness, I could rip someone's head off, like, literally. Because he's created in me like a zero tolerance policy. So if it's around me, I don't want any part of it. I'm not in this level of playing games. I'm not trying to convince myself how many drinks I can have before I'm drunk so that I can still drink. I'm not trying to convince myself that I can still vape because I won't go to hell for that. Like, I hate those things. They are detestable to me because the Bible says that it's all sin. And it creates in me this level. And so with my brother, he's older and sort of mean when I was a kid. And so he's in my house. And again, God's done a lot of work there and he's been able to receive from me with the Lord. But he's in my house and he turns on this like alien movie. And I was upstairs working, so two floors away from him. And all of a sudden, I got like just like a tiny sound, like of a scream. And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. And this is very interesting to me, and I think that's why I love it that God does a heart change on people where he no longer allows you to want darkness around you, is because if that would have happened to me like a year ago, I would have quietly let him watch that crap in my house because I didn't want to offend him because I'm going to win him to the Lord. Tolerating darkness does not win anybody to the Lord. So I came downstairs, and I was still polite, and I said, hey, what you watching? And it was some alien movie. And I was like, well, I don't allow that stuff in my house. Can you turn it off? And he looked at me, and he laughed. And I was like, okay. But then he turned it off. And I literally was like, Joe. Like, he turned it off. And he didn't leave, and he wasn't mad at me. But he now knows that there's a standard in the household that he walks into. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For once you were darkness, for once you were. It doesn't say you were in it. It says for once you were. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, upright of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proof of what is most acceptable to him. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. I have scripture backing me up that says do not tolerate darkness, and it's right there. Do not fellowship or take part with darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. For it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. What if next time my brother goes to turn on an alien movie, all of a sudden my weird comment pops into his head? We don't know how God works. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you and give you light. The Bible is taking on such different perspectives with me lately on the level of persecution. We as Christians have such a flawed view on persecution, and it's destroying us. Because every single story, every parable that I read, it's like that's the part of the story that's now being highlighted to me. Abraham, Moses, David, Noah, Stephen, Paul. I could have cried my eyes out about Stephen last week at Bible study. But every single one of those men, Paul, persecution, persecution, persecution. And these individuals lived no different lives than what we're trying to do. Same thing. They recognized that God was the one and only God, and they choose to only worship him. That's what we're doing. And once that decision was made, God gives them tasks, and it's met with nothing but persecution. So how did these people not wear thin? How did they keep their joy? How did they keep their faith? Did they have moments of freak out? They did. We've read some. David. Right? They had moments of freak out, but they always brought themselves back very quickly. They always brought themselves back to that deep in your bowels, pit of your stomach, knowing that God is going to show up, that God is going to be there, that God is going to take care of it, and that I don't have to fight this because it's not my battle. I just have to submit to being in his rest, to being in his literal light under his wing. That's your only job. And he's going to take care of the rest of it. They never broke communication with him. They always sought out his counsel continuously. And they asked him things. We don't like to ask God things. We like to tell God things. Start asking. Right? Lord, heal me. It says in your word. And then you do the scripture. That's fine. Sometimes it's very prophetic and a decree. And that's fine too. But sometimes it's like, Lord, can you do this for me? And will you do this for me? And I thank you, and I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to ask you, because I need your help right now. Our life with Jesus is all about the long game, and none of us are good at that. Constantly engaging, constantly trusting that he is here, he's taking care of us, and that he's going to hold on to us because we're holding on to him, and we're not going to let our mind waver, we're not going to freak out. Everything's going to be fine, and the Lord's going to handle it. This is where you're going to break those mindsets off of you today, if any of those people have them. This is where you're now going to have that new inner peace and that reminder of God. I'm not going to freak out over every single trial, because if every single trial brings perseverance and perseverance brings character, what kind of character do you have? There's going to get to a point where things are going to happen to you, and it's going to be like nothing really new. You're probably going to find new things about the Lord. He's probably going to be like, hey, look what I can do here. And you're going to be like, whoa. He'll always continue to show things for you to improve. And that's what brings perseverance and character. That's what brings those things. Because when you get crushed like that, things come out. And when things come out, you eventually, if you heed, you get better. You become a better person because of it. My husband has been reading this multiple times a day, and I felt like it was really important that I read it over you today. And it's Psalm 91. Because those moments of the torment, the moments of I'm wearing thin. I don't know how much more I can take this. I can't handle this anymore. What are we even doing this for? I'm not worthy. I don't know my purpose. All of these disgusting thoughts that you have on a weekly basis need to be fought with. Psalm 91. Read it every single time it happens. So what I'm going to have you actually do is I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I want you to put your hands on your belly, because I want this to go deep, deep, deep into your spirit. Put your hands on your belly. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Everybody say, I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want you to say, I receive that, Lord. We're going to end with communion really quickly. But it's a communion to not only remember, but remind. To remind us of who Christ is and what he did for us, so that we don't have to feel like we're crumbling and we can't handle this anymore. We can because of what he did. We can because he sent his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead. Can your brain comprehend that for a second? The same Spirit that raised him from the dead is the Spirit that lives inside of you. That's wild.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.